I'd like to welcome you guys to the Hunting Dog Public Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Knight. Here we will discuss competition hunts, pleasure hunts, and anything else dealing with the hunting dog. It is our sole purpose to bring awareness to preserve the sport of hunting with dogs. Without further ado, let's collar our dogs and send them on through the country. Today's word comes from Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. Today on the Hunting Dog Public Podcast, we got Mr. Robert Martin. He's from around Vicksburg, Mississippi, and he is the 23-24 UMCA World Coon Hunt Champion. Mr. Robert, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got your start.
Well, I'm a millwright by trade, and how we got started with dogs, a lot of people think I just started the last, you know, few years with dogs, but actually I was dealing with mountain curs all my life with my uncle, and then I started traveling, so I got away from them. I've had cur dogs, and then cur dogs take a lot more training, and so, and I was gone so much, I got deer dogs, of course, you know, thought that was the only way you could kill a deer with a dog. And then a few years back, I said, well, if I'm going to get me a tree dog, I'm going to start again before I die of old age. And them years are rolling in, so I'm glad I did it when I did.
Ain't no doubt about it. I'm glad you did it, too, because when you and I met, you know, we met through a mutual friend, Timmy Phillips. He's from my area. I've known him, man, ever since I was little. I know that's hard to believe because I'm a big boy now, but yes, I've known Timmy, and I remember it like it was yesterday. He calls me. He's like, hey, you going to that hunt? I said, yeah. He's like, well, man, I'm going to bring a buddy with me, and we wanting to start trying to come to them things. But anyway, that's enough.
Well, just a little quick story on that hunt. That was the first, and I was hunting against the Doc Dog, which was a world champion, and Mr. Bobby Clark started. I was scared flat to death. You know, here I have never been on a hunt before, and I'm hunting with him. Well, we cast some dogs, and I told my dog, get ahead. He tore out. Anyway, Mr. Kent, he's just very nice. He said, Robert, you really can't encourage your dog like that. I said, really? He said, yes, sir. So I sat in there the next cast. We cast some dogs. Their two dogs tore out, and their mind sitting on, he's just looking at me. So I rolled over, and I cut my eyes, Mr. Kent. I said, well, Mr. Kent, you're telling me that I can't tell my dog to get ahead? And when he tore out, he said, you know, you're a quick learner.
That's right. That's exactly right. You learned the game just like it. You did. We go talk a little bit about I tell you what I want to know. How in the world did you get the name Shorty's Rufus before we get into this world hunt? Tell me about how you got the name.
My uncle was Wallace Martin, and he raised cur dogs. He can go, back from Mr. Ledbetter, back when it was just strictly at that time, it was Ledbetter and Stephen Stock. But he had arthritis so bad he couldn't actually hunt no more. And I actually hunted some of his dogs. Burton Tate, Jimmy Hoover had the Butcher Sam dog from way back when. I've actually hunted with that dog. They come down here when I was a kid and hunt with us.
I'll be dang.
Well, my uncle had he had arthritis. He couldn't even actually hunt, but he had a cur dog. His name was Shorty. Rufus, I'm sorry. And that dog walked across the yard and go bam like a pistol, and that dog fall over. But then he'd pick his head up, look at my uncle, and my uncle say, you ain't dead, close his eyes. And he would. I mean, that's all he could do. He could train his dog for that.
Golly.
So my uncle's name was Shorty. That's how Shorty's Rufus come from. When I got that dog, I said, I fixed him to go back to my uncle and name it for him.
So he would teach that dog. He taught him to, like, roll over and play dead, huh?
Oh, yeah. He had three of them, and they would sit in a row like the monkeys, you know, the deaf, dumb, and blind. They would do like they'd be in a row like that. But he couldn't hunt. I mean, that's all he could do. But he could sit there and tell you every bloodline, how they went back. And it was a article in Full Cry, I remember seeing it one time on post. Somebody put in there, they had a big, I think it was a world hunt up at Delta National. And they interviewed my uncle in there, you know, and talking about all the knowledge he had with the cur dogs. And plus my Uncle Bud Martin, he raised them also.
I'll be dang. So that's where Shorty's Rufus come from. Because I was like, it ain't Martin Shorty Rufus. It ain't nothing. I was just curious how you come about that.
That was my Uncle Wallace. And like I said, his name, they called him Shorty. And his dog was Rufus too. So I named him after that.
Well, I'll be dog. Well, what? Let's get into your world hunting. Oh, tell us, I guess you got up there. You know, tell us a little bit about that when you got up there and, you know, your first round and stuff like that.
Well, actually, my first round, because I hunted 5 rounds in a row. And that last round, I'm not going to lie about it, I would give out, buddy.
Was that, so you got up there, so you got up there when? Thursday night?
I got there that Thursday night, and I hunted the Friday morning with my junior dog.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes, so I hung, and she did good, and she should have went a little further. Every round I got beat out of was in the last minute and a half. So, I mean, it was some nail-biting, great competition. The people, everybody supported. I mean, you could not ask for a better hunt than what that one up there. Well-organized. I mean, to me, it was a blast. But I hunted with her, and she ended up 6th, I think, in the junior. And like I said, it was a bad call on me. But I was sitting there the last minute and a half winning the cast. Well, my dog tree, but I couldn't call her because she already went back to a tree, so I would have got a minus for going back. You follow me? I got one.
That's right.
But so I finished that, went home, to the motel, sat there and ate with my wife. And to make a long story short, we got to Thursday, just nerves. I didn't sleep none Thursday night. So I got Rufus, loaded him up. We went to the coon hunt, and the first cast I drew with the new dog. And that wind was blowing like a hurricane out there that night. I mean, it was terrible. And my dog, to me, didn't hunt like he should. And that's the only cast that I know of I've ever won with a circle. All the rest of them have been with plus points. But that night, I won that cast with a circle. But we split. Newt drew a minus. So that gave me a little cushion, you follow me? And then when Rufus got a circle, that's why he was advanced. But the last time we actually threed with them dogs, I was getting a little worried. We wasn't 150 yards from I-40 up there. It was scary. That was scary. We didn't got too close to that interstate. In fact, I think I called Bob and tell him to come get us. I about give out from walking.
Right. And you know, that's a great place. I've hunted up there. That's a great place to hunt. Plenty of game, plenty of squirrel, plenty of coon. Easy walking. It's like our Mississippi Delta hunting. But, you know, I heard a couple, I heard Cody's interview and Deucey's interview both said, you know, they both mentioned that interstate up there.
Yes, sir. That's, you know, thank God for GPS. And I was watching my dog, and when I was working a track in there, and so I knew he was fixing the tree. He got in the circling mode, you know, and so we got there as quick as we could, and we luckily they got to the tree and they stuck, but we couldn't find them when we got there.
Nice.
But so when them two dogs started out, they split. Newt split. Rufus, you know, went the other way. For some reason, I don't know why, but Rufus to me just wasn't acting. He wasn't hunting hard as he normally does. But he treed. And like I said, Newt had a tree, but he pulled his tree. And then they treed again. So that's why I got my circle. Newt treed a possum, so he got a scratch on that. Well, I knew I had a little buffer in there, you know. So I did. One thing, I don't know if you, I've learned over the last couple of years by listening to people, and I've even heard you say it, and Mr. Bob Osborne told me, a lot of times you don't have to beat the dog, you got to beat the trainer. So if you get that cushion, I was so years ago, I was bad about every time my dog barked, I think I had to call him.
That's
and
right.
That hurt me. You've heard me say I got a better dog than I do a trainer. I mean, you know, a handler.
And that's it. That's
but
it.
it took me a while, and I'm still not perfect by far, but it took me a while to learn when to call and when not to call.
Right, because when he's out there barking, because you coming from a, you know, solely a pleasure hunting background and stuff like that, you think, because you're sitting there, when he trees and he's like, man, I got this coon, come get him, you know, you walking over there to him, you don't wait the allotted amount of time for the tree to close and stuff like that. So yeah, it was, I can imagine it was taking some getting used to, you know.
Yeah, so it does, and I got to give all that to people like you, Mr. Bob, Mr. Terry Snyder, Mr. Marcus Graves, who actually got the father to Rufus. You know, he's from around your area. He's got a farmer, old Turbo.
Yep, I think he's from around, I think he's around Newton or Lake or somewhere in there.
He's from around Lake. So Rufus actually comes from Mr. Brent Madden.
Yeah, he's the game and fish. Yeah, Mr. Brent. Matter of fact, I talked to him a good bit. He, you know, he and I, obviously I'd see him in the woods over here. But you know, he's got squirrel dogs. He's even got blood trailing dogs. So yes, we talk a lot. So
that's where Rufus comes from. Because I asked Mr. Marcus, you know, about getting a puppy, and he said, well, I just crossed that with some of his dogs, and that's how I ended up getting. But yes, sir, like I said, it's a big difference coming from just strictly pleasure to the competition side.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't know this dog here. I actually do more handicap and youth hunts than I do competition hunting. So I can carry that dog, and I find that me a youngin' or handicapped person, I let them handle my dog, which that will hurt you in the competition side of it. You know what I'm saying? But
I do.
I get so much joy out of seeing them expressions on them kids' face when they pass that dog and they tell him get ahead and he trees. And I've had them run up there and just drop on their knees and grab old Rufus around the neck and say, Rufus, I love you. You know, and it's a big change to go from strictly pleasure to competition. It takes a pretty strong dog to do that and just to compete. And knock on wood, he competes. He don't win, but he's gonna place pretty regular.
That's right. And he's a, like I said, he goes both ways. I remember a hunt, y'all, you and, you know, in the past, y'all, you, Brandon and Cody, y'all had a shootout one hunt. I think y'all both all three tree three or four squirrels each or something. So
on that particular hunt, I hunted that night with him, and I won the coon hunt. I come in second. I had 100 plus on the coon hunt. The very first cast the next morning, I had 500 plus on the squirrel hunt against Mr. Bob Osmond, because I remember just as well as any other day. He looked at me and said, what did you do to that dog? And then the second cast against Cody and Brandon, I had 300 plus. Cody had 300 in a circle, and Brandon had 340 and won the cast. You talking about a tight cast? Boy, that was tight.
Y'all was firing them up now.
Yes, sir. Every time I've been on cast like that, that's what I'm saying. That people don't realize it, but I listen, I pay attention. That's how I've learned. That's what helped me get to where I can handle my dog now. You know, first year and a half, I was minus in the first 5 minutes every time.
Hey, look, like I was telling somebody, you know, old Cody Pritchard told me one time. He's like, you know, you need to get you a couple of them $30 lessons, you know. So, and they help.
That's right.
I ain't gonna lie. We don't want them, but they sure do help. I promise you. He beat me one time. I handled my dog before the tree had closed, and that's a lesson I ain't never done that since. You know, cost me the advancement of going through a round. But yeah, man, you know, Cody's been a good helper to me. I don't know if you ever met Cody Pritchard, but he's from Gina, Louisiana. He's a good old boy. But anyway,
I don't think I have.
But So tell us a little bit about how you got to your first round in the coon hunt.
So how we I drew out with Mr. Clifton Robinson, and I enjoy hunting with Clifton a lot. And him and Newt was hunting, and Rufus, I think he treed in our first. And like I said, I got a circle tree, but Newt pulled a tree, so he had a minus. And that gave me a little buffer within the next segment, and it was, wind was blowing so hard, man, it was blowing terribly bad. And that hour and a half, we didn't make but like two trees. I think they had one cast was completely dead that night. So like I said, I squeaked through that cast, and then we went to the next cast. I'm sitting here, I'm hunting against a world champion, and then the other dog's a world champion and two-time reserve champion, and there's old Rufus, you know. And that you talking about some nerve and some pressure. So we cast the dogs where the wind had died down a little bit, and I heard baby dog, she opened, but she hit like she located, you know, hit the track and there. But then I heard Rufus, he freed.
But they were on different trees, huh?
They were all split trees at that time. But Rufus, when he treed, we were going to him. They treed the, I can't remember, Slim tree first. I think Slim tree first and the baby doll tree. So they split and went to hit. Well, when I got to Rufus's tree, it was a great big old hollow tree, and we couldn't find it. It was nothing there, just big damn tree. Well, then Slim, they had the coon, so he got, if I remember right, he had the 100+, and baby dog got 50+. So I'm sitting there with a circle. So we cast again, and they split, gone again. And I don't know, it seemed like forever, and I'm sitting there, you know, nervous as all get out. But we sitting there, and I heard Rufus bark again, so I called Rufus in, and we were going to him with the other two dogs treed again. This was at right at, we were down to the last few minutes of the cast at this time. And so I was going to Rufus, and Mr. Dexter went with me on this one.
Dexter Alexander?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've hunted with him on several casts. I enjoy hunting with him also. But we went to him and walked up, and I said, well, there's the coon, Dexter. He said, that's great. So we went over to the other tree, and we got there, Mr. Bart and Mr. Mine just went completely blank. No, baby dog's on it.
Eric,
I apologize. I think it worked me and Mr. Eric Hunt together a lot. But anyway, they were beating that tree and beating that tree, and I'm sitting there with my dog, and I'm thinking that right now, they don't find that the Slim dog is going to have 100+ with 100 circle. So we're going to be tied. So I'm sitting there holding Rufus, you know, waiting on them, and come to find out they had seen a heat signature with the thermal. So they knew the coon was there, but they couldn't get it out. So they used the whole time trying to get it out. And I'm thinking, well, look, you know, we need to go. We need to go so we can go ahead and finish this hunt, because I'm thinking I'm tied. Well, Mr. Bart walked up to me and said, congratulations. Mr. Eric said, congratulations. And I'm thinking, you know, slow down me, I'm thinking they're congratulating me because we found my coon. Well, what had happened, they actually treated baby doll in first, so she got 100 circle with a 50+, and Slim had 100+ with 50 circle, so that's how I won the hunt. I didn't have a clue. I'm sitting there thinking, we fixing to go into overtime, or we fixing to, you know, you follow me?
That's right.
I was sitting there trying to play these numbers, and I was, boy, they, like I said, they congratulated Robert on the hunt we had, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't want it. I was thinking, we fixing to go cast, and we can go hunt again, you know.
That's
but
right.
That dog, like I told you in the first cast, he acted like he didn't hunt. The second cast, it was a different animal. I don't know if it's because the dogs that we hunted against in the second cast was a longer range type dog. Rufus hunted strictly by itself. The other two dogs, they kind of me too, just a little bit with each other. But I don't know what made him flip that switch at that time, but he did. He flipped. I mean, I was proud of that dog. But like I said, it was kind of funny because when I come out, they congratulate me. And finally, I said, look, somebody got to explain this to me. Now, what are y'all congratulating me for? This? Well, you just won the world hunt. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Dang. So was that that's the second round?
That's the second round.
So how many dogs hunted in the coon hunt? 10?
It was 10.
So, should it have been 3 rounds?
It was 1 dead cast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, 1 dead cast, yeah, they ain't nobody move on. That's right. I remember now.
That's right. Yeah, so but then 1 dead cast, but after, you know, 3 come back in.
That's
if it hadn't been for that, it would have been.
No, yeah, you're exactly right. Y'all had to hunt, what, the next night or either?
Yes, sir.
Well. So, well, tell us, you know, not only did you, and that was the reason that I called you, honestly, was because, you know, you won the world, you know, the night champion, I mean, the coon hunt, but I also wanted to talk about, you know, not only did you do that, you hunted him the next morning, and I think you won a cast or whatever in the next day, didn't you, with him in the squirrel hunt?
Yes, so the next morning I won a cast. I was hunting with Mr. Clayton Daniels and Mr. Kenny Johnson's grandson.
What dogs were they hunting?
Clayton was hunting the dog that won the treeing contest.
Was that wasn't Fancy or something like it, is it? Macy or?
I can't remember exactly the name of that dog. It's off of some of Mr. Eric's stuff. I mean, Ag Barking, Tree and Little Machine. And we first cast. So keep in mind now, I got a dog that would rather tree coons, but he will tree squirrels. The problem with this dog is, he's going to check a tree, and he's going to check it again. And that's hard when you're squirrel hunting, because if another dog comes in there, me too, a lot of times they'll call their dog first. But I can't call him on the first bark because he'll check his tree. Well, that morning, they was all barking, and Mr. Clayton called his dog. Well, I didn't call Rufus. I could tell he wasn't settled, and I didn't call him. Well, Mr. Clayton's dog pulled a tree, so he had a minus. The other young man, he didn't call his dog. So with him having a minus, that put me set back up again to where I could kind of, something you told me a long time ago, you don't have to call your dog, you know, in UMCA, you don't have to call your dog. It's not a stationary rule.
Right, that's what, so to explain that, there's not a, you know, a stationary rule. So yes, you're exactly right. So that does, you know, I won a hunt doing that. So.
Well, so the next tree we went to, Rufus treed, and Mr. Clayton's dog treed down below it, and the young man was with his dog treed. We done already called our two dogs in. Very polite young man. You could tell Mr. Kenny and him had spent a lot of time with him, but he acted like he was just a little leery about crawling this dog. And we told him, we said, we're not telling you what to do. And he was standing by his dog, you know, right there by the tree. I said, but you can call your dog, and you don't have to wait the 2 minutes now. You can go straight to him, because the other two are already treed. He said, really? I said, yes, sir. It's treed by dog, so he went ahead and handled him. Anyway, when we got the Rufus tree, luckily, the tree had vines all over it, and you know a lot better than I do. When you see that makes you feel better, because a better chance of finding a squirrel. I asked that young man,
right,
watch your tree. I snatched the vine. As soon as I did, he hollered, there's a squirrel. So that gives me, you know, now I got one dog's got a minus, I got a plus, so I got a 200-point spread there I can work with.
Right.
And we made a couple circle trees from there, and then right there, the one I had to really worry about was, we went the next tree, Rufus tree, and it was a circle tree. Mr. Clayton's dog, it was a circle tree. And the young man, he didn't call his dog on that one. That's what it was. But he had a, 100 circle, and I had 100 plus with a circle. So I back in my mind, I'm still sitting here worried because he could tie me. You follow me? One tree, he'll tie me.
Right.
Well, we hunted that hunt, and Holt, and the last, I don't know, probably 10 minutes, my dog was treeing pretty hard. Normally, I would have called him. I said, well, I'm going to sit there and listen to him, see what this other dog does. But luckily, the other dog getting treed. But if he would have called his, I would instantly call mine. You follow me?
I do.
That's kind of stuff that I learned, and y'all don't realize, but I learned that by listening to people like you.
Man, I appreciate it, but I didn't. I'm just a little old stepping stone, cuz.
Well, it's not just you. I mean, it's everybody that I've hunted with. That's the kind of stuff I try to be like a mushroom and learn. And I think that's helped me in this world hunt because, yes, I could have called. In the past, I would have called Rufus, and he probably would have stayed there. But I don't know that. So why take a chance when you got a 200-point spread already? You see what I'm saying? So play your numbers, and that's something
that's right.
Y'all have taught me, and a lot of y'all don't realize that. And that's the reason I like hunting with this group of people. In the past, I've sat down, you know, after hunts. I said, look, hunt's over. Explain this to me. Why did we do it this way? And those things have made me to where I can at least compete with a like you're saying, with a pleasure dog.
That's it. That is it.
Because I'm the first to tell you, he's not a, you know, go a half a mile competition type dog, but he hunts hard. He's not a straight line type dog. He's a cut the woods up. He's usually a 500-600 yards of squirrels movement. He may not be 75 yards from me.
Right.
But when he trees, it's a very good possibility you're going to have the meat's going to be there because he's a meat dog. Mm. And you go at night, you take a dog, like I said earlier, and, you know, it's hard. And when I was walking out, you know, after that hunt was over, went to the next hunt, Mr. Mike Rush, is that his name?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yes, an ice dog.
He ended up being in the finals.
That's right. So it was me, his dog, and Mr. Eric Wally's dog. Here I am sitting there again thinking, you know, I got a man who's won, what, 3 or 4 world champions, Mr. Mike?
Yeah, I think it's 3 or 4.
Over here, he's got 3 or 4 world champions, was a world champion, 2-time world champion, pearl dog, and here old Rufus is, you know. But the very first tree that was made, Rufus made the tree.
I'll be dang.
Yep, he made the tree. Hawk dog come to him. Me too. Then come in late. He come in after the minute, so he didn't get credit. And the squirrel was there. And that was in the middle of the day. I mean, it was tough hunting. After that, let's see, Rufus, he treed again. We had a circle. Hawk made several trees in there, but I was lucky. We just could not find the squirrel. But Mr. Mike's dog, he treed, and we were at that time, he needed a squirrel to tie me because I had 100 plus 100 circle. He done shook the vine. He done turned around and had it look like his back was through me. And I hollered, there's a squirrel. Squirrel come out, come on my side. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he gave me that head nod like, kind of thank you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that me and him were tied. Well, then they would hawk treed again. I think he was like, I don't know, he was like 6/10 of a mile from us.
He got in there.
I was going to that tree. The last 30 minutes of that hunt, my GPS, I didn't know where my dog was. I didn't have a clue because it wasn't picking up. Well, Mr. Mike went back to get his dog, so I was walking with him to go to Hawk, and all of a sudden it went picking up. My dog was 900 back the other way, so I went back to Mr. Mike and then to get it. And we're coming out, and we're thinking the whole time, you know, they find that squirrel, Hawk just beat us.
Right.
Eric walked up. He said, somebody said, was squirrel there? And he was just messing with me. He said, yeah, squirrel's there. So I said, well, it's passed over with. And he said, no, I'm just kidding. So that put us in going into overtime. So me and Mr. Mike were tied. So now I done been through 5 casts back to back to back. I would give out. I'm not going to lie about it. My feet was hurting. It'd be easier to tell you what wasn't hurting than to go through the list of what was hurting after walking all the miles. And so we sat there, and, you know, we went into the 15-minute. We cast in 2 dogs, and they tore out. We had, like, I don't know, it seemed like 4 minutes left in the, or 5 minutes. We stand there, and I was looking. I heard Rufus bark twice. Then I heard Mr. Mike's dog went to hammering in there. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, this is it. My dog's fixing the tree. I know he's fixing the tree, but I know he's not quite there. So I had to play the game. You know what I'm saying? So I called my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mike looked at me real funny. And I don't know, he like I said, he must have, I mean, ice water running through his veins, as calm as he is. He looked at me and said, you called my dog. I said, Mr. Mike, I don't think I called your dog. I heard my dog bark twice. I said, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to walk up there. If my dog's not there, then he's not there. But anyway, we was walking to him. I heard Rufus bark quite 2 or 3 times again. Same place. I said, there's Rufus right there. I could tell he still wasn't settled. We got in there close enough, and Mr. Adam was judging. I looked. I said, Adam, watch that dog. What are you talking about? I said, dog, man, he's not on the tree. And I was sitting there watching Rufus drifted off the tree. He was still trying to settle on the track, which is part of the bad thing from hunting coons and squirrels. He's wanting to check his track, you know, make sure it's there. Anyway, he got out, and I said, minus, he didn't have to call, Mr. Adams didn't have to call him. I said, minus Rufus, he's passed the 30 steps. Mr. Mike looked at me. He said, Mr. Martin, you're the most honest person that I've ever hunted with. He said, you found my squirrel over there. You just minus your own dog. I said, well, all I did was beat Mr. Adams to it, because he fixed two anyway. You know what I mean? But that kind of compliment means a lot to me. And, you know, to hunt with the caliber of people that I got fortunate enough to hunt with, like I said, Mr. Eric, he's probably the only person that hunted more casts than I did, because when he wasn't hunting, he was judging.
Right.
I don't know how he stood up to all that. And like I said, I walked 5 casts in a row. But to me, it's an honor just to be able to go and hunt with that caliber. And then when I being able to compete with them, man, that's putting icing on the cake, especially with a dog that, you know, that basically I trained.
Oh, that's right. You did. I mean, you raised him from a baby, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Now, I sent him to Mr. Terry Snyder. He stayed in his little training pen when he was a puppy. And Terry called me. He said, Robert, need to come get this dog. I said, I'm on my way. I went that day and got him. I got up there. I said, Mr. Terry, what do you think about it? He said, son, you know Terry. He said, I'm not going to tell you he's ever going to win a world. He said, but that dog there is special. And in my opinion, I think it is. It's not just because, look, I'm proud. Like I said, he won the world coon hunt. He placed 5th in the world against all that competition. And then he won the world combination dog. And then I can take him and find a handicapped child and let him handle that dog. Me, that's a special dog.
I know, so man. That does mean a lot.
I'm proud to call it George Rufus. Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, I just said that does mean a lot when he's you know, something. In my opinion, when you raise one from a baby, you know, and hunt every, you know, put all the you know, all the miles on him, basically. And I mean, it does. It means a little more, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. And the thing about it is, if you go back and look, Mr. Cody did it with his dog, correct?
That's right.
And Mr. Ducey?
Yeah, Ducey DeCody.
He did the same thing with his dog, correct?
That's right.
And then Mr. Clayton, he's training his dog. So I see a lot of that going on right now. So I'm so proud of that. You know, so you can take a person that put the miles in, that gets committed to this sport, and you can succeed. You don't have to send him off and all. You know, you can do it yourself if you just commit to it.
That's exactly right. What, you know, we was talking a while ago, you know, how often, I mean, do you hunt a lot throughout the week, or do you just basically go get him? Because, you know, Eric, he works, he's gone like, oh, he's gone 6 months out of the year, just say. But, man, for six yeah. months out of the year, he is hunting daylight and to dark. I mean, he comes out probably and eats him some sandwich or something, but that dude hunts morning and evening for 30 straight days, and then he basically goes to work and gets a break.
That's right. So I work at a paper mill and I'm salaried, and they tend to take advantage of that sometimes about working overtime. That's one reason that I hunt this dog. I can hunt with him at night because I can go for an hour or so in the evening when it's dark and at least try to keep him going. But most time, the only time I get to go now, weekends, I've just about quit deer hunting. I'll be honest. And look, you know, 5 years ago, I would have swore that never would happen because I killed some pretty nice deer on the place. But now I enjoy watching these dogs, and, you know, and these cur dogs. To me, that's a big difference between these cur dogs and hounds. They're all great dogs, but these cur dogs, most of them are people orientated.
You're right about that. They quirky too, you know. Some of them are.
Yeah, yes, sir. But they want to please their owner. Most of them do, and it seems like not only is it working the dog. A lot of times, me and him, we just sit out there on the porch and swing, you know what I mean, and build that bond. And it's like this dog here. So I hunted him four casts in a row, and he hunted. Remember I told you in the first cast, he didn't act right. He wasn't hunting like he should. He was hunting harder in the last cast than he was. And it seemed like as the day went, he was wanting to. He sensed something was happening.
Right.
You know, and people may think I'm foolish, but he sensed something was happening. He sensed he had all that competition. And to me, he was hunting stronger when I brought him out of the woods that day than he was when we started.
That's that crazy. Morning. He just, like you and said, he knew.
He knew, and he was trying to please me. And I honestly believe that. Maybe I'm crazy, but I honestly believe that.
No, well, you know your dog. So, I mean, you hunt with him more than anybody. So, well, tell us, you know, I am proud as anything I've ever been of you and Cody and Ducey, and, you know, but tell us what you got, you know, what you've got planned next. And I know you like fooling with young dogs too. I know you're not going to retire Rufus, obviously, but tell us what you got coming up.
Well, so last weekend I was back hunting handicap hunt, terrible hunt, but so let me back up just a second. Last year, I was going to the UMCA World Hunt, and I was going to carry him, you know, he would have been a year younger because he'll be five next month. But I'd already committed going to a handicap hunt. So this year, I was able to go. But last weekend, we were back with some kids, a group of kids, you know, handicap hunting again. This weekend, I'm going to the world hunt up here, I mean the state hunt, I'm sorry, the state hunt up in Batesville this weekend. And my little Izzy dog, she's coming, she's doing pretty good. I think she's going to make a little name for herself eventually. She keeps on like she is. And it will probably be cur dogs at my house when I leave this world.
So. That's right.
And like I said, I wish I could take credit where they have, you know, to where they've been, what they have made. Yes, I put the hours in, but the dogs probably have made me. Like you've heard me say it, you know, I got a better dog than I do handler. Sometimes I wonder just where that dog could have went if he'd had a good handler. But who knows? He may have not done nothing because the other side of the story, the cur dog tend to try to strive to do good for their handlers, you know, once they get that bond. Back like my uncle said, all his dog, they wouldn't treat nothing, but he could make them sit there and roll over and play dead just by going pop.
And, you know, that just tells you right there that, you know, if you could take a dog and teach it that, I mean, if he could have hunted, you know, just think of how, you know, how, what he could have done.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I love about these dogs here. If you go back and look in history, you know, they wasn't world dogs. They wasn't cur dogs. Coon dogs. They was survivalist dogs, basically. Whatever that settler needed, that's what that dog was supposed to do. And that's some of the kind of traits we're supposed to keep with these dogs. And they were people-orientated dogs. I mean, if you go back and look and, you know, where your dogs actually come from, like I said, way back in, it was Leadbutter and Stevenstock. Leadbutters were actually your rental dogs. Stevenstock was your black dog. But where I'm going from here, yes, sir, old Rufus, he's a guy to where when I go on a hunt with him now, Izzy may have to stay out in the box, but I got a towel laying on in the floor in that motel room, and he'll sleep on that towel all night. Well, I say that night me and him coon hunted, and then we were back up in 2 hours, you know, going on a squirrel hunt. Every time I'd look up, he was looking at me across that bed there. So I don't know if he was mad at me for hunting him all night and know what's going in the morning. But he sat there, and he just sat there and look at you, you know, but he sat right there on that towel.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, so we're gonna continue hunting with these kids. We're going to continue. And I love going to these hunts. If I told you that I thought I was going to win every hunt I went to, that's not true. But I expect place to compete. You follow me? Every time. Because I know my dog. He's a pleasure dog. And it's hard. It's hard taking a dog working kids. It's hard taking a dog hunting soon and turn right around and compete with a squirrel class like that. And Mr. Mike Rush was walking out. People don't realize they say stuff like that, how serious I take it and how good a compliment I take it. But he looked at me, he said, sir, he said, that's pretty impressive that what your dog doing. Because at that time, we known that I was, you know, he had won the combination dog. I said, what are you talking about, sir? He said, well, tree tuned at night and compete like that in the daytime. He said, that's pretty impressive. And for that to be coming from a fellow, I think, has won 4 world champions. And Mr. Eric was the same way. I mean, that means a lot. And one more, just a quick thing. So my wife, she's been on one cast with me, and that's when we was in Tennessee, and you heard I had the gun pulled on me up there. She said, I'm never going to another one. Well, when I was hunting in that cast, she was at the clubhouse. When I walked in that door, and I would give out. I'll be honest with you, I would give out. She called me over. She said, Robert. I said, what? She said, everybody in this clubhouse was pulling for old Rufus. And he said, they don't even know him, but they pulling for him. I said, well, that's the type of people these are, Jody. I said, these are cur dog people. I said, they pull for underdog.
That's right. They sure do. And again, like I said, that, you know, that organization I've been, I enjoy the heck out of it. I don't even have a cur dog right now, or, you know, a straight cur dog other than my pleasure dog that's out of Madison stuff, you know. I am proud, because, you know, you've put in the time, and ain't nobody, you know, deserve it more than you, for sure, because you had, you know, hunting them dogs, you've been into them, you go to them. But what did you say you was going somewhere this weekend at Batesville? Is it a UMCA hunt?
Yeah, no, it's an OMCBA.
I got you. Just for clarification,
I don't know, you know, it used to be if you entered a dog in a coon hunt, you entered a dog in a squirrel hunt, and whoever had the highest, that's who the combo dog was. Well, it's not that way now. I think it's got to be, 9 dogs in the coon hunt, and you got to place a certain percentage, I mean, you know, a certain place, and then you got to place in the top 10 in the squirrel dog. So it's not a gimme no more as far as combo dogs. It's actually an earned class now. It's not like you got it just because you entered both of them.
That's right. You I mean, that does sure make changes things. What did you, so you was, you won the night hunt or the coon hunt, and you was, what'd you say, fourth or fifth?
Fifth in the senior hunt.
Fifth in the squirrel hunt, man, that's pretty salty. You, old Rufus, he made his rounds, that's for sure, didn't he?
Yes, sir, I was proud of him. Like I said, we couldn't have done it, I mean, without the help of everybody else. But like I said, it's a lot of, like me being a sponge and learning from mistakes, and I have made a, and you told me that. You told me, you know, me and you got to talking. You said the same things. It took you a year and a half, or you won a test. Well, took me about two.
That's right. It took, man, I thought I was just going and going and going, you know what I mean? And just donate. But like I said, after that first one, it I ain't gonna say it got easy, but it was sure fun. So you bred old Rufus to anything?
Yes, sir. I've got a female, she's just a brood bear, I mean a brood dog, but she's Hummer top and bottom. And the puppy that really got hunted, I gave him my best friend, and he is a treeing little dude. I'm telling you, he's a little blue dog, but he does, all he does is pleasure hunt. But he is killing me.
Oh, so that's it? That's the only one you bred, just that one you got? Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I lost you there.
Yeah, we may have bumped it here.
I can edit it. I can put it all together.
Okay. Well, you asked me if he got any puppies off of him.
Yeah, I just want, you know, you bred to your female that's at your house. You breed anything else?
I haven't yet. I'm probably gonna go to my Izzy dog, but she's out of Rufus's sister, and she got some streaks on the other side of her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll probably go back to that. That's a little heavy humming, but That one dog my buddy's got, I mean, he goes on handicap hunts with me and all too. Well-mannered dog, and kids can howl him, and he's a tree and little dude now.
Well, you know what you like, and you know what Rufus is, and like I said, it looks like he may be, you know, throwing some of the same traits, so maybe he'll work out for you on the reproducing side, at least keep you in some dogs, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think he will. Like I said, based on what I've seen on that one, and like I said, I go to this little gift I got now, and if somebody else is interested in something like that, let me know. But he has really surprised me from, you know, coming up through these years. Like I said, he's mainly just a good pleasure dog, but he's able to compete too. So
that's right. Well, he's fun for you, and like I said, you don't go buy a bunch of dogs, but you kind of hunt what you raise. And like I said, I'm the first one to buy one. So, I mean, I'm, my hat's off to you. I like that, that aspect, but I'm no dog trainer. I feel like when I do buy a puppy, I feel like I pick the worst one that's ever been born. So my luck with, my luck with picking pups is terrible. So, yeah, so I'll buy a dog in a heartbeat to hunt with. So, but anyway, well, we've been at it almost an hour there. I just wanted to get you on and give you a shot to tell your story and tell kind of how you made everything happen.
Well, I do appreciate that, and like I said, one thing I would like to add on there is everybody that's helped me, I appreciate it, and I know it's a bunch of names out there that I didn't mention because. It's people have been helping me all over.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, it's hard to, you know, that's, you know, most people don't go to naming names just for the simple fact of they want to leave somebody out or something, you know.
Right.
So it's better to just give thanks to everybody.
That's the way I am, you know, and I'd like to make that clear. But I do appreciate it, Mr. Chris. If I can ever help anything, holler.
All right, brother. Well, I'll be in touch. Like I said, everybody knows you and I. We deal with work, and we friends first, but then we talk dogs while we working. So anyway,
right.
Well, I sure appreciate all you do, and I thank you for this, and I'll be in touch, my man.
Okay. You sound like Mr. Adam doing pretty good with a biscuit dog.
I think so. I seen that. I did see that. So hopefully,
I told him he was three.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, he treed three the last night or night before last. I think he was. So
actually, he made three trees and it was four coons.
I'll be dang. So yeah, hopefully he, you know, keeps putting it on him. We'll see.
Yes, sir. All he got to do is get him to bark on the tree a little more. And I told him that before I sent the dog to him, as far as tree, and he tickled me. He said that dog got the best handle I ever seen. I said he's gonna stay in my pen. He's gonna be that way.
I know that's right.
Yes, sir. Well, look, I appreciate it. You be careful. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you.
See you, buddy. Bye.